ask and ye shall receive. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the power of asking questions. Put simply, the quality of your entire life depends on the quality of the questions you ask and how consistently you ask them. Questions are like magic keys that unlock powerful answers. And that's exactly what you lack in your life. The reason you're lost, depressed, unfulfilled, struggling, sabotaging yourself, fearful, insecure, and all the other problems that you have is because you lack the answers. You lack the understanding. And of course, that's because you're not asking the right questions. And this is a very simple thing, a very simple technique here. And I just want to take this episode to cement in your mind the importance of this very basic technique. And in fact, if you want to just get into self-help and personal development, this is a very good place to start, is right here, because this is extremely practical and this just applies to total newbies. But at the same time, this is a technique that you'll want to refine and hone over the years to get to very advanced levels. So sorting out your life requires asking great questions, which is a rare skill. It's not a terribly complicated skill to learn. It's not a terribly difficult skill to learn. It's just actually so simple and so basic that most people ignore it and neglect to do it consistently. And so they're losing a lot of potential growth that they could otherwise get. So here's a key insight for you. The answers to life are inside of you, not outside, the way most people think. But it doesn't occur to you to ask and to look inside. And because you don't ask, you never receive. So I'm talking about answers like how to be successful, or how to follow your life purpose and how to actualize it and take it to the next level. Answers to how to fix any kind of emotional problems that you have, any health problems. Answers about how to practice spirituality better, how to meditate better, how to fix your relationships, how to fix your money problems. These kinds of answers. And all you need to do to get these answers is really to question more seriously, more deeply. And that's what I'm going to show you how to do here today. Now, an important warning, though, is that when I tell you that the answers are inside of you, don't misunderstand me. This doesn't mean that now you don't need to read or watch videos or learn from great masters and teachers and gurus. It's still very important to study external sources. You study that because that gives you the raw data, the raw knowledge, sort of grist for the mill. But then what you do is you turn inwards, and you think for yourself. And then you deeply question all the stuff that you read and learned and heard about, whether it's for me or for anybody else. And then you develop your own answers that are unique to you and that are true to what you need in your life right now. And of course, this is what's so critical about personal development and about spirituality is that you need to craft a custom path for you that only works for you in your situation, given your strengths, given your weaknesses, given your cultural background, given your abilities, given your interests and passions. And that's different for everybody. So just remember, anytime, because you're going to be stuck in your life many times, you're going to be stuck in business with financial problems, you're going to be stuck in relationships or with spiritual issues. Just remember that whatever problem you have, you can find the answer within yourself if you ask the right questions. Hell, you can even Google your questions and find answers. And in fact, Google is a very powerful tool that a lot of people just completely ignore. Google could change your whole life if you ask it the right questions. And that's actually a whole separate topic that I'll shoot an episode on in the future, is how to use Google to transform your whole life. You certainly could. And most people don't. Most people use Google for all the wrong things in all the wrong ways, searching for all the stupid stuff which reinforces their all of their existing problems. See? Google is an amazing tool, and we live in an amazing time right now where you have so much information and knowledge at your fingertips. But the problem is that it's too much. It's overwhelming. So how do you filter it down to something you can use? Well, again, asking high-quality questions. And it's also important that your questions are well-worded, that they're precise, that they're accurate. A well-worded question is like an instruction that is sent to universal mind. So if you think about Google, Google is like this hive computer mind that stores basically the entire internet in its index, and you can ask it questions, and it'll return queries within seconds. Well, you can do the same thing using your own mind. You can ask your subconscious mind, which is connected to universal mind, universal intelligence, which is running this entire show and running your whole life. So it's sort of like you can Google your own mind, universal mind that you're constantly connected to, but that you take completely for granted and that you don't utilize. It's like you've been connected to this universal database, hyper-intuitive supercomputer, and you don't query it. You see, that's the problem. Now, I have several older episodes where I've talked about questioning in some fashion. I have an episode called Contemplation, where we talk about how to contemplate. It's an important one. I have another one called How to Contemplate Using a Journal. That's similar, but we're talking about using a journal in that situation. And then I have one called the 64 Most Fascinating Questions That a Human Can Ever Ask. That's also an interesting episode. So you might wonder, well, then what's the point of this episode? Well, the difference is that those were mostly focused on a sort of existential contemplation. You're contemplating philosophical abstract topics there, like what is reality or what is the self or stuff like that. And that's all great. But this episode here is about something even more ordinary and more basic and more practical, which is just sort of like ordinary questioning that has to do with your everyday mundane life. So let me give you some examples of what I mean. Now, this is a list that I came up with of 50 or so different questions. Of course, you can come up with thousands. There's literally thousands of very powerful questions that you can ask for yourself, and it will be one of your homework assignments to develop your own list. But I want to get your mind jogging, so let's look at some of these examples. First is, what do I really want? That's an extremely powerful question. And I want you to notice with these questions, sometimes they're very simple and basic. They seem so basic that they almost seem childish. And yet that's actually what makes them so powerful and also so flexible, because you can apply these questions in many different situations. And also what you have to understand is that you don't just ask one of these questions once and then you're done. No, this is a question like, what do I really want? You can ask that question every single year of your life and you will get new answers, going deeper and deeper and deeper into what you really want out of life. So make sure that you plumb the full depths that these questions are making available to you. Next, what is most important for me in life? What is the purpose of my life? What is my highest vision for myself? What is the next level of my life purpose? So this one, if you've already found your life purpose, you have to remember that it's not good enough to just find your life purpose once and then you're done. If you've taken my course, it helps you to do that. But you don't just stop there. Like I talk about in the course, you got to keep taking it to the next level. And really, finding your life purpose through the course is just the beginning of where you're going to go with that. Every year, you got to be asking, how do I take it to the next level? Next, how do I be more creative? For you creative folks in the audience, for you artists, for you visionaries. How do I be a visionary? How do I keep myself from backsliding? Why do I backslide at all? Why do I have ego backlashes? What new product or service could change the world? What does the world really need right now? What causes me to get in a rut? What motivates me? What excites me? What would I do if I had no fear or limitation? How am I dishonest with myself? What am I avoiding in my life? What ideological positions or beliefs do I cling to? What am I unwilling to let go of in life? Why aren't I able to surrender? For example, if you're doing spiritual work or you're doing psychedelics, some people struggle with the surrender aspect. You can contemplate that and get an answer. Why is my mind so active all the time? There's a reason for it. It's not an accident. You can discover the answer. Why do I have emotions? What is the purpose of my emotions? I mean, you're experiencing them your whole life. Every single day, you're wrapped up in your emotions, and yet most people don't even know what an emotion is, and it never even occurred to them to ask. Not me or some book or some expert, but ask yourself. I mean, hell, you're as close to your emotions as you are to anything. If anyone can discover what emotions are, it's you. You're the one experiencing them. Surely your subconscious mind knows what is the true purpose of emotions. Next, why are people selfish? Why does religion exist? Why are there so many different kinds of religion? Why do people disagree about non-duality? I mean, if enlightenment is just this simple binary thing, why so much disagreement? Why is humanity headed, where is humanity headed in the future? What is my role in that? What is my role in society? Why do I judge, criticize, and complain? What's the function of that? How am I failing to take responsibility for my life? That's a very powerful one. What does it mean to be more conscious? I mean, I talk about consciousness all the time, but do you know what that word even means? You'd have to find it in your own experience. Next, what are some examples of blank? And this blank can be any kind of abstract term. So a lot of times, if you're listening to me or to any teacher, we can use abstract concepts like consciousness or God or intelligence or awareness or existence or creativity or intuition. You know, these very abstract terms that for many different people, they can interpret these terms in many different ways. But a really good way to understand the teachings better is to ask yourself, what are some examples of this abstract fill-in-the-blank term? And then have your mind supply the examples. That's extremely powerful. In fact, if you notice, in all of my episodes, I give you giant lists of examples. Why do I do that? Because that's how your mind learns, is through concrete examples. By hearing lots of examples, your mind, because it's an intelligent supercomputer, it can pull out and draw connections and patterns, and it can better understand going from the specific to the abstract. It's much easier to go from the specific to the abstract than it is to go from abstraction to specifics. So people easily get lost in abstraction. Next, how is my worldview holding me back? And a corollary, what is my worldview? Do you even know what your own worldview is? Explicitly? Have you explicated it to yourself? Most people have no idea what their worldview is. Next, why do I love X? Fill in X with whatever you want. This is a very powerful question because most people are drawn or attracted to things in life, but they never question why or what is it about that thing that they're attracted to. Like maybe you read a book and you really love that book, but what about that book is it that you really love? Can you actually clarify that and put your finger on it and actually articulate it? If you can, that's very powerful. That's not just some rationalization for why you love a book. That tells you something deep about yourself, about what you really value in life. See, if you go around for a whole month just asking yourself, why do I love this thing? Why do I love that thing? Why do I not like this thing? And you keep doing that, over time, you're going to actually develop like a map and an understanding of the things that move you and the things that demotivate you. Next, what is the next stage of evolution for my business or for my career? Next, what do I truly believe that I need to have to be happy? Why do I meditate? A lot of people start meditating, but they don't have a good reason for why they meditate. And it's important to be clear to yourself about why you meditate or why you do anything, really. Because if you're not clear about that to yourself, then you're going to not stay with that habit. You're not going to realize how important it is to you. Why do I want this relationship? A lot of people get into relationships for totally wrong reasons. And it makes a big difference if you're conscious of the reason that you get into a relationship. Is it for sex? Is it for companionship? Is it because you're lonely? Is it because, what, you're using it to avoid your spiritual work or whatever? Next, what is the most powerful question that I could ask? What important questions are not being asked in this situation? Like maybe you're working on some business project. What important questions are not being asked? You see, what I want you to understand here is I want you to become conscious of the fact that when you ask a really quality question, this question unlocks something in your mind. It has an immediate effect on your consciousness. And immediately your subconscious mind goes into gear and starts to look at the situation in a way that it didn't look at it before. So just by being in a business meeting and everybody there is discussing some proposal, just by being the one who raises his hand and asks the question well, guys, what important questions are we not asking about this business proposal? Immediately everybody there, the tone of the conversation will shift and everyone's mind will start to wonder what are we missing? Because we weren't even thinking about the fact that we were missing anything. You see? And all of a sudden, you can now start to see things that you couldn't see otherwise without having asked that question. And so it is for all the questions on this list. Next, how do I become successful? Do you want to become successful, but you don't know how? And then because of this, you're stressed and you're anxious and you're looking all over the place. Well, how about you trust that you can turn inwards and discover answers within yourself? Now, of course, also understand that a lot of times when you turn inwards and ask a question of yourself, the answer will be to go look it up somewhere. So I'm not saying that for this question of how do I become successful, that you need to generate all the success strategies and techniques and tips that mankind has ever developed for success, that you need to reinvent the wheel there. No, it's just it might be, for example, as simple as how do I become successful? Well, I don't know. But what I do know is that lots of people have been successful in the past, and probably they've found principles for how to be successful. So those principles must exist within human culture. So let me go find those principles. Let me go find a book or a teacher or a seminar. And that's enough to change your whole life right there. See? Then you go discover the right kind of book which teaches you the success principles. In fact, if you're looking for that book, I've got plenty of them on my book list. Next question. What makes people so effective? Have you noticed that some people are way more effective than others? You can always look at that person, maybe there's one guy in your office who's the most productive and the most effective one. What makes him such a great salesman? Or what makes him such a great leader? And then when you ask that question, your mind will then start to observe that guy and what he does. Every day you're there, you see him in the office, he's doing something. What is he doing? He's doing something different. And then when your mind tunes into that because you asked the right question, then lessons will come, insights will come. Next, how am I unique? That's very important for you to discover about yourself, the ways in which you are unique. And a corollary is, how am I not being true to my uniqueness? When you're not true to your uniqueness, you suffer, and your life is not optimal. And you don't experience that joy of self-expression, of being who you truly are. A lot of times that's driven by fear. But see, it's good for you to be able to discover that. So when I ask you the question of why are not you not being true to your uniqueness, well, one answer might be, it's because I don't even know what my uniqueness is. Okay, well then you can ask the question, well then, how am I unique? And then you can get answers. Your mind will supply you with answers. And then once you know that, then you can say, well, yeah, I know the ways in which I'm unique, but I can't do it. I'm not doing it because of X, Y, Z, because I'm afraid I'll be embarrassed or I'm lacking in confidence or self-esteem. See, and then from that, you can say like, oh yeah, so I'm lacking self-esteem. That's the problem. Okay, well, how do I gain more self-esteem? That's another question. And then from that, you can brainstorm ideas there, and maybe that'll lead you to finding some self-esteem book or whatever, which I also have on my book list if you're interested in that. Next, how do I become a better leader, artist, parent, or anything? Whatever kind of better you want to become, how do I become a better person? You could just sit down and spend an hour contemplating that, and you'll get amazing answers. What am I like when I'm at my best? What am I like when I'm at my worst? In what ways am I a devil? Oh man, I love that question. That's such a powerful question. If everybody on Earth asked this question seriously, we would solve half the world's problems overnight. Half the world's wars and criminal activity would cease overnight. Next, how are X and Y the same, and how are they different? And it's really important to include both of those components when you're doing this comparing, contrasting. Because a lot of times what people do is they focus on how two things are the same, and they ignore the differences. Or they focus on the differences, but they ignore the similarities. So always ask both sides of this coin question. Next, what are some totally new ways that I could live my life? Just sit down and start brainstorming different new lifestyles for yourself. That alone can prop you out of a rut. Why am I resisting X? There's a lot of stuff in your life you resist, but you probably never question it. Why am I afraid of X? Same thing. A lot of stuff you fear, but you never question. A lot of times you fear something that really, once you question it, you realize, oh, that's not a big deal at all. Why was I so afraid of that? It's because you didn't question it. What would be my ideal job? What will I regret most on my deathbed? How am I being inauthentic and why? What am I most proud of in my life and how could I do more of that? What robs me of energy and passion? How could I use my mind in better ways? Why are there so many deluded people in the world? And how can I make sure that I don't end up like them? That's a very powerful question that I constantly ask myself. And I've gotten so much traction with that question and so many benefits by asking that question over the course of most of my life. It's a really good way to avoid self-deception. See my three-part series on self-deception. Next, what is the lesson here? You can ask that about all sorts of situations, especially when you have a failure or a problem or you face some sort of obstacle or you conclude some kind of project or endeavor. Always ask yourself, what's the key lesson here? And just by asking that question, immediately your mind will start to fill with lessons that otherwise, even though you went through that situation, by asking the question, now you make it explicit rather than just something that's floating around in the back of your mind. You make it explicit for yourself. And then, of course, you can write it down as well, which then helps you to remember it, too, for the future. Another great question is, what are the top five ideas from this book? That's powerful. After you finish reading every book that you will ever read in your life, stop for a minute, stop for 5, 10 minutes, actually, and ask yourself this question. What are the top five ideas that I learned from this book? And then write them down. And you will see, you will get way more results from books just by asking this one question. And of course, there's many other questions you can ask in that context. But let's move on. What causes me stress? And what is stress anyways? What do I admire about that person? There's always people you encounter that you admire, but what specifically? Can you actually articulate it? See, if you can actually articulate it and distill it down to its essence, then that tells you something about yourself. Because if you admire that quality in that person, well, then that tells you, hey, the next question that comes up, well, if what I admire in that person is their generosity or their lovingness, how can I be more generous or how could I be more loving just like that person? And also what that shows you is, of course, that you value generosity and lovingness. That tells you something important about yourself. That might be one way in which you're unique, is that you value that while others don't. What lessons could I learn from that person? And oftentimes it could be a negative person. So you might see someone on TV who you hate. What lessons could you learn from that person? What lessons could you learn from Donald Trump? See, negative examples are all around us and there are great teaching opportunities, but most people are so busy judging and criticizing the negativity that they see around them that they completely miss the fact that that's a lesson. Somebody there, like Donald Trump, is living through hell. Literally, he's living through hell. He's sort of like the Antichrist, you might say. You know, Jesus died for our sins, the Christians believe. And Donald Trump is like doing the exact opposite of that. He's sinning for you and putting it on public display for the whole world, making an ass out of himself, completely embarrassing himself, showing you the terrible consequences of egotism and unconsciousness and ignorance and selfishness. So he's displaying for you pure devilry and self-deception. And you can learn all those lessons for yourself as long as you just stop judging him and actually ask the question. Next, what would a permanent fix for this be? A lot of times we're busy like solving problems, but we never get to the root of the problem. And so a corollary question to that one is, what is the root of this problem? You'd be amazed how often this question is not asked. To really sit down alone by yourself and to ask yourself genuinely, what is the root of my blank problem, whatever it is? Might be a sexual problem, might be a relationship problem, might be a spiritual problem. Your mind will go straight to the answers as long as you can tolerate the answers. A lot of times the problem is that we don't want to know the root of a problem because it's not convenient. Next question is, what opportunities am I overlooking? If I could get the answer to any question, what question would I ask? What makes me feel creative? When am I at my most creative? What would be a more authentic way of doing this? Whatever this is. What would be a more authentic way of doing my job? What would be a more authentic way of flirting with women? What would be a more authentic way of relating to my children? What would be a better way of doing this, whatever this is? How does this look from another person's point of view? That's a really powerful question that will change your whole life. If you get used to asking in every situation where you disagree with somebody, especially, or where somebody seems crazy to you, always remember to ask, how does it look from their point of view? Actually step into their shoes. And then that makes huge changes in how your mind works. What top three things would transform my life if I did them? What makes me come alive? Why does this trigger me? Whatever it happens to be. How can I be more aligned with God? If you understand what God is, and if you had an actual direct experience of God, then this will be a very powerful question for you. If you've never experienced God, and you just hold it as a belief, this will not be a worthwhile question for you, because your ideas of God are a fantasy. But if you really know what God is, there's a lot of good questions you can ask yourself about that. Why am I struggling with blank? Whatever blank is. Where can I find the answers? It's a really good question for any problem or situation that you have. How am I being selfish? How do I make my psychedelic experiences actually stick in everyday life? It's a good question to ask. What is holding mankind back? What is the big picture here? I love that question. So, whenever you get stuck in technical details or in the weeds, or maybe you're reading some chapter in some book, you can always kind of zoom out by asking the question, what is the big picture here? What's the significance of this? Scientists could really use to ask that question more often. What are the most common traps here? Whatever here happens to be. Like, what are the most common traps with enlightenment? What are the most common traps with meditation? What are the most common traps with starting a business? What are the most common traps in dating? What are the most common traps in having children? This is an amazingly powerful question that will help you to avoid all the worst, most common traps. Another great one is, if this thing that I'm doing fails, what will be the most likely causes of the failure? What am I really good at? What's a new way of seeing this problem? That's a very versatile and powerful question. How is my thinking about this limited? Also a very flexible one. Who could give me good advice on this topic? Whatever the topic is. Another one I love is, what if my core assumptions are wrong about this situation? What are my core assumptions? How could I maybe change my core assumptions? And how would that change how the situation looks? And what I do about it? What could I accomplish if I had more confidence in myself? How am I being reactive and defensive? That's a really good one. What am I really trying to say here? I really love that one because a lot of what I do with my work is I'm always talking to myself because I'm always trying to articulate insights because that's my job and that's what I'm interested in. But sometimes, you know, I get lost just trying to articulate something and I'm wording it with lots of different sentences and I just want to like get right to the chase. And so a really good question for that is, what am I really trying to say here? When you ask that, your mind usually summarizes entire paragraphs of ideas and insights into one concise little statement. Like, what am I trying to say with this entire video? See, when I ask myself that, my mind goes in a very different direction than where it just was. It starts to like open possibilities from which then I can select the most appropriate one. How am I creating this problem? Whatever the problem is. How could I make this task more enjoyable? That's a really good question. How am I being closed-minded? What are the most powerful self-help techniques? How can I become financially independent? What should be the next chapter of my life? So let's stop there with the list. I could keep going and going. I mean, literally, like I said, thousands of these questions exist. They're very context sensitive, so you need to come up with your own list. You'll be amazed at the kind of answers that your mind generates to some of these questions if you just ask. Now, an important point is that your answers will not always come right away. Sometimes they will. Oftentimes they will. But sometimes not, especially if your questions are really deep and profound. Sometimes you have to ask the same question over and over again for weeks, for months, and even for years, and even sometimes for decades on the really stubborn questions, the really profound ones. But you know, what I find is that if there are questions that are really worth asking for entire years, when you finally do get the answer to it, the answers are so profound and so life-transforming that all the years of questioning are totally worth it. And in fact, those are my favorite types of questions. Those would be the more existential type of questions. But also, a lot of them have to do with your life. Like, you can ask the same question about, like, why am I unfulfilled in life, for example. You can ask that question for years until one day you'll finally realize. And when you do, your whole life will never be the same again. And in fact, really, that's the only way you will ever become fulfilled in life, is if you get a legitimate personal answer to that question. It's not enough to hear from me. I could tell you right now why you're unfulfilled. But it's not going to do you any good. You got to realize for yourself why you're truly unfulfilled. Because then you'll be ready to then do the things that are necessary to truly become fulfilled. So keep asking the questions, even if it takes weeks and months and years, and eventually the answers will come. Have faith that the answers will come. Be patient. Place your faith in the question. Place your intent into it. Really want to know. Have a genuine desire and curiosity. Often the answer doesn't come to you because you don't actually want to hear it, and it's too scary and too painful. So it takes time for you to actually grow yourself before you can access the deepest answers and ask the deepest questions. Oftentimes, you actively avoid certain questions and answers. Notice that. Notice that. Some questions are very, very scary precisely because you know that the answers, when you are honest with yourself about them, will result in you having to transform your whole life. And of course, those are the most powerful ones. But of course, they're the ones that you don't usually want to ask. So make sure you ask those. Push yourself. You know, asking these questions can sometimes involve emotional labor. One of the problems with ideologues and dogmatists and fundamentalists who get stuck on some worldview or some belief system is that it makes it impossible for them to ask high-quality questions. And this stalls their entire life, gums up the works, because their mind is so ossified, and what they're doing is they're defending some kind of ideological position or some belief system which prevents them from true, genuine questioning, powerful questioning. So here are my top tips for you for doing good questioning. Number one, believe that your questions are important and that they have answers. This is critical. A lot of people miss out on the best questions because they just assume, like, oh, well, that's a sort of silly question that can't possibly be answered and it can't possibly be important. Like, for example, the question, why is there something rather than nothing? If you ask this question of most scientists or highly intelligent people, even, they'll just dismiss it and say, oh, well, you can't really know, you can't really answer. Yeah, it's one of those sort of philosophical, navel-gazing type of questions, but meh, we don't know, it's not possible to know, and it's not important anyways. See, but by thinking that way, you miss out on the most important question of life. Or like, what is the purpose of life? a lot of people just say, ah, well, it's subjective. It doesn't matter. It's just philosophy. And yet it's absolutely central to how you live your whole life. So you have to truly believe in your questions. And that's the only way you're going to be able to ask the deepest question for years. The deepest questions for years is if you have a sort of a belief that there's a purpose behind these questions and that it's possible to actually know, and that it's not only possible to know, but that the knowledge of it will transform your whole life and it'll be worthwhile. Secondly, be genuinely curious. You have to ask these questions from a non-needy place. Otherwise, you're going to get corrupted responses. So genuine curiosity is very different from wanting to rationalize a situation. So a lot of times you can ask a question and frame it in a negative way, so you have to be careful. So, for example, you could say, you could ask yourself the question why are evil corporations screwing over the world? That would be a very poor question because it's framed so negatively and it's so biased. You can tell that there's ego and there's sort of personal wounding there in that question. Or for example, the question of why is life so unfair that I can't get laid? That's a terribly framed question because it's negative, it's coming from the ego, it's coming from a sort of a wounded place, and the only thing that's going to trigger in your mind, that's not going to trigger a genuine answer, because here, you see, you're not being genuinely curious. You're coming too much from your own selfishness. And so, of course, what your ego mind will then come up with is some kind of rationalization. And it'll say something, I can't get laid because it's those feminists. It's those feminists and it's those social justice warriors and they're emasculating men and all this. See, this is not a true answer to the question, because you're not genuinely curious to know the answer. What you're asking for is a rationalization of your pre-existing ideological position, which already is assuming that the world is so unfair and that it's impossible to get laid, and that feminists are the problem. So you're already assuming that. So this is what I mean by ideological people not being able to truly question. So be very careful about that. Don't just automatically assume that every answer your stupid monkey mind comes up with is a high-quality answer. It only works when you're questioning from a sort of a pure place, not from a wounded, needy place. Of course, another important tip for good questioning is that to really do this, you need silent periods where you shut off the entertainment and all the distractions and just sit by yourself and really reflect in sort of a peaceful way where you're not pressured for any kind of results. That's usually when your best answers will come. But you see, most people are so busy running around filling their schedule with social activities and other kinds of nonsense, career and work and chasing stuff, that they don't create these silent periods, and so there's no serious questioning, and so you can go kind of on autopilot and just be busy for a whole year and not ask a single serious question. And so your life is just on autopilot doing the same old stuff, and so of course you're not growing. Another tip for you is that you got to work on phrasing your questions well. Make your questions succinct, precise, not wishy-washy. That really helps. I'm constantly amazed because I answer so many questions from people. Literally, I answer thousands of questions if you count all my YouTube comments and my forum comments and in private messages that I receive from people. And I'm amazed at the low quality questions that I'm asked. A person with a serious problem often comes to me, but then frames her questions so poorly that it's impossible to help them because of how the question is framed. So really work on your framing. And especially if you want advice and help from busy people, people who are like doing something with their life. These are usually experts, gurus, and leaders. They will give you advice. They will give you really high quality advice, but you need to make sure that you frame your question the right way, not as a giant ranting paragraph of telling me your life story. Like, nobody cares about your life story. Like, distill your whole life story to one question. What is it you want to know? What is it that would solve that for you? What kind of advice do you need? Be very clear and specific, and then you'll be able to get high quality answers from teachers and gurus and masters. Be very careful about not blaming, criticizing, and negativity when you're asking these questions. That is ego. That's not going to give you genuine answers. Of course, you have to be very open-minded. You have to allow for radical, unorthodox answers. A lot of times the answers you get will be uncomfortable, they will be paradoxical, they will be counterintuitive, they won't be what you expect. And it's easy to somehow dismiss, sometimes you will dismiss the exact answer that you need simply because it doesn't fit with your existing expectations or conventional orthodoxies or what your culture taught you or what your parents told you. Another tip is, of course, trust your highest intuition and trust your own authority. The answers that your own subconscious mind generates are more accurate, ultimately, and more true and more authoritative than any kind of answer you can get from any professor, guru, or teacher. Because your mind knows best what's right for you. As long as you purify yourself and you're not coming from a needy place, then and you're tapping into your highest intuition, then your authority will be ultimate over everybody else. Now you might wonder, but Leo, how do I know that my question will actually get answered? What if my question is impossible to answer? Won't I be wasting my time, possibly years? And the answer is that ultimately you don't know. You don't know. It's a somewhat of a gamble. But a deeper answer is that, and this is a key insight for you, reality is understandable. All of reality is understandable. There is a design to reality. It's not random. It's not just a hodgepodge of events and activities and coincidences. There's a very deliberate design to how reality works and how life works. And you can discover the principles and laws behind this design, and you can basically understand everything. Of course, sometimes what that means is that you will understand that the question you were asking is a poor question or is a misguided question or a question based on false assumptions, but that in and of itself, to discover that some question that has been lingering in your mind is actually based on false assumptions, that's a really valuable discovery. That frees you up to then ponder deeper questions. See, and it also clears up various kinds of bad assumptions that you might have had. That's really valuable to discover that. So ultimately, the way I treat it is that for me, there's no such thing as an impossible question. Every question, I've answered such impossible questions at this point in my life that there's no limit. Nothing ceases to amaze me. Everything is possible. I've answered the most impossible of questions. I've answered questions like, why is there something rather than nothing? I've answered questions like, why do I exist? Like, what is my purpose here? What is the purpose of life? I've answered questions for myself like, what is God? And what is truth? And what is time? And what is energy? And like, I've answered all these questions. And you can genuinely understand all these things. That's what one of the most remarkable things about life. So you will discover that more and more as you question deeper and deeper and more existentially. Now, of course, it's not enough to just sit down once a year and to ask a few questions or to sit down when you're in a real pickle and you're in some catastrophic situation and you're stuck with some problem and only then you ask questions. That's not good enough. You have to train yourself. The whole point of this conversation we're having is that I want you to train yourself to ask questions every day, habitually, in all situations for the rest of your life. That would be a huge technique right there, if you could put that into place in your life. And it's extremely versatile, as you can see, because it works in almost all situations for all problems. Oftentimes, you'll find that your answers come from totally unexpected sources. So a lot of times, it'll just come from your own inner voice, from your intuition, from your subconscious mind, or from universal intelligence, if you understand what that means. A lot of times, so in your own inner voice, you'll get the answers. But oftentimes, you'll get it from the outer world. So you might be asking yourself the question like, how do I become successful? And you, in your own mind, might not get the answers. Maybe you don't truly know. You're too ignorant on the subject. But then you go to the dentist's office and you're sitting in the dentist and then you're bored and you just look around at the magazines and you see a magazine that says Success Magazine, 15 ways that people become successful. Like, and then you see that and then your mind says, oh yeah, that's exactly what I was asking for. And there it is. Now, is this a miracle? Is this magic? No, it's just that your mind is very selective at what it's looking for. So the whole point of asking questions is that it primes your mind to be receptive to all the stuff that's around you in the world. And so a lot of your answers will literally come from the world. People say something, you know, your friend or your mom might be talking to you on the phone and they say some off-the-cuff comment that has nothing to do with any question that you asked, but you'll realize, like, oh, that answers my question that I had for years. That answers it. You know, your mind will connect these dots for you. So this is what I call serendipity and what people call synchronicity. But you can only activate this serendipity by asking these questions habitually. You see? Sometimes the answers will just come totally out of the blue. You'll be in the shower and just the answer will hit you like a lightning bolt about some question that you weren't even asking. It's a question that maybe you asked a month ago, but then it just hits you out of the blue a month later in the shower. That's how it tends to work. But that's not an accident. That's because you were questioning. And so you can actually cultivate this and then you'll have a steady stream of answers hitting you every single day. That's what my life feels like. I have 100 new insights, profound insights about life every single day. I have so many of them. I'm too exhausted to write them all down because if I were doing that, I'd be sitting for 6 hours every day just writing. It's amazing and it's a bit overwhelming, actually. So be careful what you wish for with these questions. You can really, really take your life into totally new directions. And so once you get a handle on asking these questions habitually, you're not going to have any more reason to feel lost in life. At a certain point in life, you will be so resourceful by having trained your mind and also consumed a lot of books and videos and such, you will become so resourceful that you will never feel lost. You will feel confident that no matter what problem arises or whichever way you get stuck, that you will be able to get the answers. And the way that you develop that confidence is by having spent years asking these questions, training yourself to do it, and then having gotten hundreds of high-quality answers, then you will feel like the universe is your personal Google, and it will answer whatever you want for you. That's very powerful. That keeps you from getting into ruts and hopeless bouts of depression and so forth. Here are some action steps for you to take away and to do after this episode. Number one, contemplate the importance of questioning, so that you understand in your own mind the potential of what we're talking about here. Number two, start a list of all of your top questions about life. Make this list hundreds of questions long. Make it 1,000 questions long. Number three, determine which questions of these are the ones that you really care about. Find your top questions. Number four, identify any chronic problems and obstacles that you have, and brainstorm some high-quality questions specifically related to that. So, like, maybe you have a problem with ADHD. Brainstorm 15 or 50 different questions that you have about that. Or maybe you have a problem getting a date. Brainstorm 50 questions about that. Maybe you have a problem with money. Brainstorm 50 questions for that. Next, make a list of questions that you're afraid to ask. So ask yourself the question, which questions am I afraid to ask? And then generate a list of 50 of them. That'll be very powerful and therapeutic in and of itself. And lastly, I want you to buy a stack of legal pads, those yellow legal pads, and pens, and leave them lying around your house everywhere so that you can use them for questioning. And be constantly jotting down new questions throughout your life. When you're in your shower thinking about stuff or driving in your car, have a legal pad there and you can jot down your questions. And then if you watch my episode and you keep a commonplace book, go check out my episode about how to keep a commonplace book. You can compile all of your best questions in that commonplace book the way that I do. So if you took my life purpose course, you need to be asking yourself more questions and more powerful questions to be able to actualize that. If you're a highly creative person, an artist, or an entrepreneur, you need to be asking way more questions than you presently are, more outside-the-box questions, deeper questions to be good at what you do. If you want to be a great scientist, you need to get much better at asking quality questions. Your questions are not deep enough. They're not broad enough. And that's holding you back from making your greatest discoveries. If you're doing spirituality, there's a million questions that you should be asking yourself that I've talked about in the past. If you're a psychonaut, you need to get much better at asking quality questions. That's one of the biggest differentiators between someone who just does some psychedelics and gets nothing out of it versus someone who does psychedelics and transforms his whole life, is that the true psychonaut is also really, really good at contemplating questions. And that makes the trips 100 times more powerful and more productive and useful in everyday life. So it's not just some peak experience. So in conclusion, don't take something so basic and simple as questioning for granted. These sorts of basic techniques are really what account for 80% of your results within personal development. Remember that good questioning snowballs over time, and it pays dividends for the rest of your life, so it's worthwhile to do. And I'll just leave you with three of the most life-changing questions that I ever pursued and asked in my life and that I've answered. Number one, what is consciousness? Number two, what is reality? And number three, what do I really want? Now, of course, I've asked many other questions. Very amazing questions have been answered. But these three in particular have probably been the most powerful. And these are questions that I've asked for years. And sometimes it can take a decade or more to get the answer, but boy, is it worth it. So you could try these out for size, but of course, you know, this is just me. Everyone's going to have their own top three questions. It very much depends on your personality and where you are in your life and so forth. So there you go. We're done here. Please remember to click that like button for me and come check out actualize.org. You'll find my blog with unique insights and videos that I post on there. Check out the book list. Check out the Life Purpose course. Check out the forum. Ask your questions there. And the final thing I'll say is that actualize.org's number one priority is understanding. That's my number one focus in life. To me, it's even more important than awakening. It's more important than even embodiment of awakening or even mastery. It's understanding. Because understanding is the foundation for everything else. If you lack understanding, you will screw up your awakening. If you lack understanding, you will screw up your mastery and embodiment of awakening. You see? So understanding is the most valuable thing because it grounds everything else. With wrong understanding, you're stuck. And with accurate high quality understanding, profound understanding, all of life opens up to you. And not only that, but really, understanding is its own reward. It's not just a means to some end. It is the ultimate end, is for you to understand what the hell everything is. What else is there to do in life but to understand it all? And it is possible to understand it all. And of course, the key to understanding is asking quality questions. So don't delay, begin today, and I'll see you soon in the next one.